Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. What do you think of when you think of mud? Some people think, ew, messy. Mud is gross and wet and squelchy. Other people think, wahoo, mud, let's play. Have you ever played in the mud before? I remember one time walking through a muddy field as a kid, kicking up bits of wet dirt and spreading mud all over my jacket with my hands. It was all fun and games until my boot got stuck in the mud, and I couldn't get it out until my mom came in to rescue me. Playing in the mud might seem like something that only kids and maybe dogs do, but today we're going to be talking to some adults who have had some interesting adventures playing in the mud. They call it mudlarking. And I promise, there's more to their messy adventures than you might think at first.
Mudlarking is 90% fate. There's no real good mudlarks and bad mudlarks. You know, there's no brilliant mudlarks. There's just people happen to be in the right place at the right time.
This is Laura Maklem. She's such a big fan of mudlarking that she's written multiple books about it, including A Mudlarking Year, Finding Treasure in Every Season, and Mudlarking, Lost and Found on the River Thames. Now, you might be wondering what mudlarking is exactly. Mudlarking is like a treasure hunt in the mud next to a river, especially the famous River Thames in London, England. Long ago, people dropped or lost things in the Thames, and over hundreds of years, those objects got buried in the muddy shore. Today, mudlarkers like Laura carefully search the mud when the tide goes out to find old coins, pottery, buttons, toys, and other pieces of history. The Thames is a river that has a tide because it's so close to the ocean. Laura first started mudlarking not too long after moving to London's busy city center.
I love my own company. I love solitude. And I grew up on a farm, and I had plenty of solitude there. And when I moved to the big city, I was looking for the same kind of solitude, I think, even more so because, you know, London's crazy. It eats you up, spits you out. And I started looking for it in the gardens and the parks, and I just couldn't find anywhere quiet enough. And then one day I went to meet a friend in a pub by the river, and I realised that running right through the middle of our city is this expanse of wilderness, this wonderful solitude, and nobody really visits it. And so I started walking beside the river to begin with, because there's the Thames path and it goes for miles. And then one day I found myself at the top of a set of river stairs looking down onto the foreshore when the river was out, because obviously mudlarks go mudlarking when the river's low, and wondering why I hadn't been down there. And I went down, I found a piece of clay pipe stem, and as they say, the rest is history.
Laura can really only go mudlarking when the tide is out so that there's more exposed river mud to explore. She's had some pretty remarkable experiences digging around on the banks of the River Thames.
This time between about 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. that I'd never been on the foreshore, and I decided that the tides fell just right for me to go and do it on the eve of the longest day in the summer. And so I decided to go and see the sun come up, and it was magical, absolutely magical. You get the most beautiful sunrises and sunsets from the river because no buildings blocking the way. And that particular day, it's just that moment when the darkness turns this really deep indigo colour, and then gradually the light starts to change. And I went up onto London Bridge to watch it, and the sun gradually came up over the city. The river was so still, it was like a sort of mill pond. It was like a mirror. It was absolutely still with these sort of blooms of mud sort of rising to the surface and sort of billowing and sort of flowering on the surface almost, and sort of turning and falling again. And the river was so still, you couldn't even see it was moving. Then the sun came up, this intense orange and violet. It was just the most stunning, stunning, beautiful sunrise. And then I saw this little black dot in the stillness of the water, and it was moving. And I thought, gosh, what's that? It was a seal under London Bridge, which is very, you know, it's quite high for it. They do come up all the way up to West London, but there it was, a midsummer morning, and there's a lot of folklore about seals, you know, and in the Shetlands, which is where my my family from. The seals are Selkies. They're spirits. They come out of the water in midsummer and they walk on the land. They shed their skin. They walk on the land as people. And to see one in the Thames under London Bridge on midsummer morning was just incredible. You know, this sort of riverine Selkie playing in the water.
Mudlarks might love walking along the River Thames and taking in the beauty of the natural world, but they're also captivated by the thrill of finding something special in the mud under their feet. Anyone who wants to mudlark has to have a special license even to touch anything in the mud on the banks of the River Thames. But once they get a license, mudlarks can pick up and take home what they find. So Laura can take her discoveries home, where she keeps them like a dragon, gleefully enjoying her treasures.
Mudlarking is a gift of two parts, I suppose. There's the search and the finding. And then you take your object home, and I will often live with it as it is. I don't like to clean it or do anything with it. I just live with it as it is for quite a while. This is my room. Nobody is allowed to touch anything in my room. And I've got bits everywhere. And then gradually I'll sort of take a bit and clean it up and research it. I find things and I don't know what they are. And they will sit on my computer. I'm sitting at my computer now and looking at a load of stuff that I don't know what it is. And I'll sit and look at it as I'm writing or I'm doing whatever I'm doing on my computer. And sometimes it'll sit there for years until I'll suddenly see something in an old painting, or I'll go to a museum and I'll see something that looks like it, or someone will say something to me and I'll realize what it is.
Laura says that of all her treasures, she is most often thrilled by the shoes she finds along the river.
People say to me, you know, what's your favorite thing? What's the most amazing thing you find? And always for me, it's the shoes. And I do find a lot of shoes. I've got probably nearly 200 shoe soles now, ranging from medieval right the way up to 20th century. And I never get bored of finding them because they're so personal. You know, it's like when my grandmother died, we found her leather gloves and they'd taken on the shape of her hand. And it was like holding her hand again. You know, leather takes on this, it takes on the person. And when I find these shoes and these shoe soles, it's like reaching back in time and actually shaking hands with that person who lost it, because it's so personal.
These leather shoes don't dissolve in the river because once they're stuck in the mud, there's no oxygen to make them disintegrate. Cool, right? One particular shoe that Laura found is now housed in a museum.
It's a child's shoe. It's small. It probably would have fitted my children when they were about 5 or 6, I suppose. And it's just a very, very simple slip-on shoe. You can buy them like that in Morocco still, if you visit Morocco. When I found it, I found just the end of it sticking out, and I sort of dug around it and pulled it gently out of the mud. And when I cleaned it out and I looked inside, I could see the impression of the little owner's toes and heel, and that he or she had pushed the back down. You know, in that way that your parents tell you not to do with good shoes, push the back down to make it easier to slip on. And we will never know how it ended up in the mud. People wore shoes until they literally fell off their feet. So it wouldn't have been thrown away. It was lost somehow. Maybe he was running across the mud, somehow fell into the river and it fell off. Maybe he was being bullied and someone pulled his shoe off and threw it into the river for a joke. Who knows? We'll never know. But what's left of this anonymous person, we will never know who they are the creases and the little toe prints. And it's just indescribably wonderful when you find something like that. It is living history. I love finding shoes. They're just the thing I love more than anything else.
After finding out about mudlarking, our Constant Wonder team member, Tenery Taylor, was so interested in the idea of mudlarking that when she was in London, she found a way to try it out for herself. She met up with Flora Spiegel, another London mudlark, and got to have her very own chance to explore the River Thames. Here's Tenery and Flora to bring us along on their very own mudlark adventure.
While we were waiting for Flora to arrive, I'd been looking out over the railing of a set of stairs that led down to the foreshore. I was a little disappointed because, in advance of our rendezvous, Flora had called this spot the Roman site, and she had assured me that we'd find lots of fragments and artifacts. From about 15 feet above, all I saw was shells and rocks. But my eyes deceived me. When we were kitted up and descended the stairs to the foreshore, what had looked like rocks were actually fragments of medieval pottery and Roman roof tiles.
There's just all kinds of bits in this area, all different time periods. That's probably medieval. That's probably German stoneware. We'll see loads of that here, all different kinds. There are roof tiles. If you see anything with a hole in it, that's probably a roof tile.
Homeowners would just chuck their garbage off the off the shore into the river.
Yep,
that was just how it was done.
Yeah, food waste, some of that. And then also just, you know, London has burned down a number of times and the rubble from that has just been bulldozed into the river to stabilize the foreshore. You'll notice there's a lot of bone as well.
Okay.
So that's 2,000 years of what's left over after you had dinner. That's some Roman pottery. It's our first bit of Roman pottery for the day.
Left to my own devices, I would have thought that the dark gray fragment that Flora was holding was a rock. It was about the size and shape of a guitar pick, but thicker and with rounded edges.
Actually, a lot of the archaeological stuff we find is rubbish that was swept up or dug up or carted in from on land and actually deliberately placed here to fill out those revetments.
Okay.
And that's been going on since the Roman period here. So this area goes back to Roman times.
Okay.
And do you find things jumbled together or?
All jumbled together.
All the centuries.
The randomness is really fun. It's a bit like a slot machine. Oh, hey, we just found something good. All right, so that is part of a medieval jug.
Okay.
Probably 13th century. And it's got...
And what tells you that?
It's applied strip decoration. They would roll out clay really thin, run a roller across it to make this pattern. Then they'd sort of mush it on to the side of the jug.
So it's a little trim right there.
As a decoration.
Okay.
Let's see. Yeah, and so these sort of strips running top to bottom. So this would be like a middle class pride and joy on your table.
Okay.
This has a green glaze where they put copper filings in with the glass glaze. I don't know if you can see, there's tiny, tiny bits of sand in, this is called the fabric, the clay that the body is made of. And that's the thing that tells you, other than the decoration, that it's medieval, because they did that to stop it from blowing up in the kiln.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm so glad that Tenery was able to go and find some interesting bits of history along the River Thames. Mudlarking is a great way to see how the natural world can help connect humans in the present to humans of the past. When mudlarks like Flora and Lara find bits of history, whether it be a shoe from a little boy 300 years ago, or a piece of a pot from 2,000 years ago, they are reminded of the people who came to the River Thames throughout history. So even if you don't go mudlarking at the Thames, the next time you're out in nature, keep your eyes peeled like you're on a treasure hunt. You never know what you might find.
Quick word for you parents, I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff we know kids are going to love, but you may be wanting more. We've got a whole episode devoted to mudlarking adventures along the River Thames. If you want to hear the full presentation, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. It's called London Reveals Its Secrets to Mudlarks of the Thames. We actually think you're going to love more than just one episode of our podcast, which is an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small, the kind of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we think you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman Darrington, with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.